Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Welcome to the John 330 podcast. He must increase, I must decrease, is the message John 330 invites us to live. Incorporating this into our everyday lives can be a challenge. What keeps your fire burning? We have many wonderful ways to stay close to our faith, whether it be the Mass, spiritual readings, prayer, adoration, or the rosary. This is Catholic Faith Life, and here's our host, Jason Nunez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John 330 podcast. This is your host, Jason Nunez, and welcome to episode number 54. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Adamola Elliott. Hello, how are you?
I'm great, Jason. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Before we get going, we're going to go and say the litany of humility prayer. It's a prayer that's grown on me since the beginning of the year. And felt important to include it in each episode going forward from episode number 50 going forward. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear, from the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus.
That others may be loved more than I,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be esteemed more than I,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be chosen and I set aside,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be praised and I unnoticed,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may be preferred to me in everything,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should,
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. Thank you, Adamola, for accompanying me on that. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
It's an awesome prayer.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And if you can do us a favor and go ahead and share with us a little bit about yourself, please.
Awesome. Well, hello out there to everyone listening. my name is, as Jason said, Adamola Elliott. And I am a military brat. Mm-hmm. So my parents are actually from an island in the Caribbean called St. Lucia. And my dad joined the army in New York while he was studying there. And I was born in Kentucky, but didn't really know or come to know anything about it. We moved to Texas after I was born. And then we lived in Germany until I was about 13. And then we moved back to Texas. So I kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit of a European, American, Caribbean type. It's really interesting. So I went to school for college at UTSA. I studied Spanish. Uh-huh. I like languages. So living in Germany, my parents, they tried to keep some of the culture while we were there. And even when we moved to Texas, so my parents spoke a dialect of French called Patois. And so we were hearing that, but in school we were learning German. And then I had neighbors who were from Puerto Rico, so I was learning Spanish.
Wow.
So, language and culture just comes to me easily, I think. So I majored in Spanish in college because I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. My parents were over this weekend and my dad was like, we forced you. They kind of forced me to go to college because I was like, I don't want to go. I don't know what I want to do. But my dad was like, you will go. So so there I went. And then while I was there, I joined the ROTC program and I thought I would go Army. And my dad was like, don't go Army, go Air Force. So I joined the Air Force. I commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Air Force. And from there, I moved to Del Rio, Texas.
Yeehaw.
I thought I would go far. I was trying to, well, I'll back up. On our, we get a little dream sheet. So on our dream sheet, you're allowed to put six places of where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And the only stateside location was Florida. And I still got Del Rio, Texas. So needless to say, I was a little bit upset because I thought, you know, I was going to see the world. And I saw tumbleweed.
Del Rio, Texas.
And Del Rio, Texas. No. But I loved it. I mean, it was, it is truly what you make of it. Just like life. Life is what you make of it. So if you are constantly upset or saddened or I didn't get or I want, mm-hmm. Your view of life changes a little bit. So I was very open to learning my new job, learning the city. There were a lot of, it's a pilot training base. So there are a lot of people that like come Friday, 5 o'clock, they're already packed. They would drive to San Antonio and I would stay because I was like, well, there's stuff to do everywhere. But again, it's what you make of it.
Right.
So some people know this, but I have a Mary Kay business. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that since college, since I was 19. So we're going on 18 years in November.
Whoa.
Yes. So that was kind of my sanity, because being out there in a different place where there's just one culture, I was exposed to small town thinking, if you will. But even within all of that, again, it's what you make of it. So I was able to work my business, meet a lot of awesome people, hang out with the community there, make lots of friends there, lasting friends. And then I got rifted from the Air Force. And so rifted is like a reduction in force.
Uh-huh.
So after like 3 years and 3 months of serving, they were like, ooh, yeah, sorry. There's a lot of lieutenants and we have to get rid of some of y'all. So I was selected to leave, but I wasn't ready to go yet because I felt like, okay, God, so you brought me here. I was trying to do something with my life. I joined the Air Force and then now you're kicking me out. But it was like, I'm not done yet. So my options were I could transfer into the reserves or to the Air National Guard. And I chose the reserves because if you are under the Air National Guard, you are subject to the whim of the governor. And I was like, I don't know that I want to be guarding borders and stuff. So I was only out for one day. I transferred into the reserves into a civil engineering Red Horse unit, which is a unit that deploys people and heavy machinery and equipment to austere locations or maybe even stateside locations to repair runways, to blow up stuff, to build wells. And I was a logistics officer. I cross-trained into logistics, so that was fun for me. So I did that 3 years, transferred to a aerial port unit, which is kind of like an airport inside and out. So we had a passenger services section. We loaded planes with cargo. We would track planes in the air, logistic wise. But then the same thing with logistics, you move large groups of people, equipment and masses from one location to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I left that in December of 2015 or 2012 and embarked on a new journey as a civilian. And
dun, dun, dun.
Right? And I had no idea how much I had been spoiled in the Air Force because they provide everything.
Everything.
For those of y'all who don't know, the Air Force or the military? The military is in its own entity. Like, it can survive on its own. So you have your own police, you have your own doctors, dentists, lawyers, chaplains, youth groups, community centers, hotels. The BX and the PX is kind of like your store without food, although some of them have food. What's it like? It's probably like a Walmart without the grocery section, and then our commissary is like a Walmart or an HEB. So yeah, that was very, very different. And just trying to go out into the real world and get hired, it was hard because I'd go on interviews and people would say, wow, you're very talented and you have all of this experience, but nobody wanted to hire me. So it was at that time, probably we're like April of 2013, I started working for the UT Health Science Center for a cardiologist, and I introduced myself as Captain Elliot. And then I was like, crap, because I was not out of that mindset yet.
So was that just like second nature?
It was. Because nobody
referred yourself that way?
Nobody called me by my first name. It was always rank and then last name. Or it was, hey, Captain. That was me. So fortunately, the guy that I interviewed with, my would-be boss, he was a retired lieutenant colonel. So he kind of laughed it off and he hired me. I stayed there for about 3 years and then it just got stressful. And at that time, I was kind of looking for something more because I was struggling a lot with, okay, I'm used to telling people what to do. And I had led about 45 people at one time, supervised 9 directly and 45 collectively. So if I tell them to do something, they would do it. And this new job, I managed 5 women. And I was like, this is easy. It's not 45. It's not 9. It's 5.
Can do that.
Yeah, I could do that. Those 5 women gave me the most difficult time of my life. But I learned more from them. I certainly prayed a lot more. And I had to think outside the box of how do I connect with these ladies who are all older than me by over 20 years. So how do we work together to focus on the mission, but also how do I reach them? How do I get them on board? So it took a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer. But also at the time, I started to get more involved in young adult activities. And I guess that's kind of how I found myself where I am right now. I was recruited by a guy who was the former secretary at the Archdiocese of Life, Justice, Peace, Outreach, and Young Adults.
The American way.
The American way, right? Let's lump everything all into that category.
Right.
And at first, I really wasn't interested in the job, but because he was like, you seem to know a lot of people. You seem to be very well connected. Like, how do we get you to work for the diocese? And I was like, no, not interested. And he was like, well, let me take you to lunch. You can learn more about it. And I said, okay, I'll accept a free lunch. So, okay. And he explained the job and he gave me some references, told me to look on their website. And I told him I'd think about it. And I kid you not, probably a week later, I got an email from a friend, and then another week later, I got an email from another friend, and then another friend who were sending me the same job description saying, hey, I think you'd be good at this. So I said, okay, God, well, obviously this is you because there's 3 different people, you know, things happen in threes. I'm not superstitious,
number three.
But so I hired or I interviewed and then they hired me, and I really didn't even know what the job was, but it was...
Shut up day one, go, okay, I'm here.
Right.
Now what?
What are we doing? What is this parish life liaison thing? So it's been almost 2 years now, and I've been working for the Archdiocese of San Antonio, and I've learned a ton, grown even more, and I really enjoy it. I keep running into people who tell me, you know, we didn't think you'd be there that long, or how come you're still there? Even some priests that I work with are like... Wow, what is it that keeps you going, or why are you still there? Or they say, you have an ability to laugh off some things and not take it personally. I was like, oh, that must be it. But it causes you to pray a lot working in that environment, because if you're working for the church, I don't think people realize, and I didn't either. I figured it would be this awesome environment. There's a chapel in the building. We get to pray before meetings and stuff. This is cool. But the enemy attacks those who are closest to the church.
Yep.
And that building is no different. A lot of people maybe don't understand that or don't realize that, but the enemy attacks from within a lot.
Very, very, very true point. I can certainly understand what you're saying about that. So we're going to ask the magic question. So just taking a step back and looking at the big picture, you grew up with a military background, you were in the military, you served our country. Thank you for your service.
Thanks for your support.
You have a business as well, being a part of Mary Kay, mm-hmm. and you work for the Archdiocese. So you, our Catholic faith is pretty much a very, very large part of your life. You have it day in and day out compared to the quote unquote average person who goes to Mass on Sunday, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So with our faith being a large part of your day-to-day life, how do you, Edmola, how do you keep your fire burning for our Catholic faith?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Well, what I did not mention was my parents brought us up Catholic. Mm-hmm. My father was very involved. Well, both parents, my father and my mother, but we always supplemented education at home. So me coming into this job and learning that, you know, there's this thing called sacramental prep and parents drop their children off and then they get baptized and then they come back for First Communion and mm-hmm. then they don't come back for another year until it's time for confirmation. Like, that was an eye opener for me because that didn't happen with us. I mean, we went to Mass every Sunday. My mother was in the choir, mm-hmm. so sometimes choir would come over to the house and practice. And I love music. I love dance. So mm-hmm. I was just there jamming out with them. My mother played the tambourine. So, you know, I'm probably like, if you can picture it, me next to her, like with this little mini tambourine trying to play along with her. It was, mm-hmm. you know, I got shooed out a lot of times. But it was just, to me, faith was always a part of our life. It wasn't like an option. I think sometimes today, if children get tired or if they can't wake up or whatnot, you know, the parents are like, do you want to go to Mass? There was no do you wanna. It's
wake up, we're going to Mass.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. My dad would wake us up at 6 a.m. because they were early risers. Mm-hmm. So we went to 8 a.m. Mass every Sunday. And we had friends there. You know, we were a part of the youth group. My sister and I, we were part of the youth group. So I think it's important to have an active youth group, but we were always involved for Easter, for Advent. We always had something extra at home. There was, my parents would have like a special, like we do the Advent wreath and we talk about it. Mm-hmm. Or what was the other thing? We always said the rosary as a family together on Sundays. We just were very, very active. So it was never a question that faith wasn't going to be a part of my life. Probably around the age of 13 or 14, after we moved to Texas, I don't remember specifically, but I asked my mother, like, how do you know God is real? Mm-hmm. Where does that even come from? Like, we're learning all of this stuff in class, and I pray and I do all this, but it was like, okay, so how do you know God is real? And my mother was very, very modest. She would always have those little sayings that sometimes would annoy me, but now I understand why she would say it. You know, like, good things come to those who wait. Like, why can't we have a car? Good things come to those who wait. I'm like, really? Can't you just tell me, like, you don't have any money or anything?
Level with me. Come on.
Right. But, you know, she would say, well, then pray. Mm-hmm. Ask God to show you who he is. Mm-hmm. And I would say, really? That's it? And she was like, ask God to show you. So I did, and you know, I'll share that it was like one night I woke up, but I wasn't fully awake. And I remember looking at, like, towards my stomach. I was laying on my back, and it was like there was this light that just came around my stomach. And I was shown, like, the solar system with all the nine planets and the sun in the middle. And I was like, this is kind of cool, but also this is kind of creepy. Like, why am I seeing mm-hmm. this? And it was like, I can't say that I heard it or that I thought it, but it was just like, what came to me was, I am the one who made all of this. And I was like, Okay, so God's real. That's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know that I even told my mom that, but I just remember like, okay, there's no question now. And it was like, that was it. I don't need any more. No one's going to argue with me that God's not real. Like, I saw. And it, just the feeling, like, I just know that he's real. Mm-hmm. And then I always used to play with my guardian angel, which was kind of weird, too. like, I would, like, you know, when some children have the imaginary friend that
right.
they would talk to.
Right.
Well, mine was my guardian angel. I'd be like, let's go. We're going to go play. We're going to go do whatever, you know. And I, like, I'd go to bed and I'd make room for him on my bed. And it was just like, you know, like nothing. Because we had the guardian angel prayer. And I believe that we all have a guardian angel. So why right. not talk to him? Because he's there. And he's probably like, I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. Can you just say hi?
Once.
Just once. So every now and then, you know. So that really for me was my faith walk. Like, we went to retreats a lot. We had this thing called Superfest. I remember coming to a retreat in San Antonio. It was called Youth 2000. There was adoration and just hanging out with other youth. They'd separate us into age groups and we just play all these games. But we talk about the faith and talk about, you know, what do you want to be in vocation? And there was a time that I thought I was being called to the religious life. Mm-hmm. I discerned out of that. And then, you know, college came along and it was like, okay, I'm on my own now. What do I do? And I was at the dorms, at UTSA, the Chisholm Hall, which I'm sure there are other dorms now because it's grown so much. But my first day there, my parents dropped me off on a Saturday, I think it was. And on Sunday, like, I couldn't go to church because I didn't have a car. I didn't know anybody. My roommate that was supposed to be there wasn't there. She had the car. So it was like, mm-hmm. I kind of stayed in my room and I cried. And she had a TV. So I think I found a Mass on TV and I watched Mass, but I was miserable. And I was like, wow, is this what life is? Like, how am I going to, I'm going to go move forward. But it was my first time that I had ever missed Mass. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next day, the RA is there, the resident assistant, and she calls everybody in the hallway, and we get to meet each other. And this is how God works. Had I walked out of my door and knocked on somebody else's door, I would have discovered that the two girls across the hall were Catholic. Two doors down from those two girls were Catholic. The RA was Catholic. Two girls in the opposite direction were Catholic. Like, I'm surrounded by Catholics, but it's like, God was telling me, you now, this is your life now. You're on your own. You have to live it. You have to ask. You have to move. You have to act.
Take action.
Take action. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I would have said, you know, hey, I'm new here. I don't know you, but I want to go to church. Do you go to church? Can I go? Like, I didn't know any of that.
Right.
So then after that, oh, we were going to church every Sunday. And I was the one that was like knocking on doors, calling
time to
them.
Time to go.
Yep. So I guess that's, I really, when I think back on my life, and there are a lot of people that have that lapse in faith.
Sure.
Or that in college, they just kind of gradually grew away from it. It just took me that one Sunday to be like, there's something missing. I need that. I want that. And I just never, I don't know, I never lapsed. Now, after that, being in the military, moving back to San Antonio, it was a little difficult because then I was just the Sunday and the Holy Day of Obligation type person until I met a guy that I dated for, if you want to call it dating. It was just a, you know, one of those decisions in your life that you have to learn from. And it's just
you
like,
have to go through the path to learn.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I had one of those for about a year. And so it kind of, this person left me like isolated. He tried to isolate me from my friends. He was very manipulative, very controlling. So when I broke up with him, I had realized that I had alienated myself from a lot of my friends. And I wanted to be surrounded with more Catholics. So I prayed. I probably, again, God was like, his grace was on my life because after dating somebody for a year, you know, you would think I would be distraught and just moping around and crying and everything like that. I think I did that for about 3 days. And then I was like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this. This is not me. Okay, God. And I just a very sincere prayer, like, I need to be surrounded by strong Christian Catholic women. Where are they? Find them for me, please. And 2 days later, I went to a Christian Women's Business Association that I found on Meetup. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I have ever experienced people speaking in tongues and speaking over me, because I was a little distraught there. And it was like after the meeting had ended, there were about 9 of us that stayed to talk. And one other lady was having some health issues, and I was just like a mess and crying. And they're like, okay, ladies, let's do it. And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And they like surrounded us, and one of them started like speaking in tongues, and she was like, and the Lord says, and then somebody else would be translating. And I'm like, what is going on here? But they were saying some things to me that they could not have known, like about the relationship, and that I had to go through this because I had to help other women and all of this. And I was like, how do they know this? So I was like, okay, so this speaking in tongues thing, it's for real. Mm-hmm. Kind of freaky, but cool. And then 2 days after that, I attended the Catholic Women's Luncheon, where I met, I guess that's what, that would be the start of my young adult activity, everything, was that luncheon. I met a girl named Sarah Lozano, now Sarah McCafferty. Another girl named Arlene Lopez, now Arlene Herrera. I met Lauren Alexander, now Lauren Alexander Rin.
Yep.
And then Tina Luther, who's now Tina Schmidt. But all of us, one by one, got up at that luncheon and said, like, there's a problem. What's up with the men here? But also, like, where are the women? Where are the young adult groups? Where are the people that we need to reach out to when we're having issues, mm-hmm. when we want to talk? And where are the like-minded, like-aged people? And, you know, we got up and said that and whatnot. And then I think afterwards, like, Arlene's mom and Sarah's mom kind of pushed us together. Y'all need to exchange numbers, get together, talk. And we were all, the three of us, were wearing the same color scheme. We were wearing like this cream and orange and something like that, all dressed alike. And for the next 6 months, they were my rock. I experienced adoration. I experienced daily mass. We'd hang out and just talk. What does the church say about this? And what's wrong with men? And what does the church say? But like, we just delved into the faith, and I grew so much in my faith during that time because of that simple prayer. Because I was deeply sorry for all the crap that I did and let that guy do to me mentally. But that God redeems, God heals. Mm-hmm. And I was like not even expecting anything. Like he took my brokenness, my loneliness. And I'll say that, you know, as we get older and for me, it was everyone around me has a boyfriend and I don't, or everyone is dating, or they're getting, I wasn't in the, like, everyone's getting married except me. That wasn't me, but it was like everyone's dating. And I felt this weird pressure, like, why don't you have one? You should get a boyfriend or whatever. And so when this person presented himself to me, instead of looking at him with my eyes and saying, no, because you're not for me, you're not even my age, you know, like all of these things, it was kind of like, well, I guess I'll try it because no one's ever said I love you to me before. So must be, you know, like all of these things.
Right.
I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know whose I was. I didn't think, oh, yeah, I'm a child of God. Yeah. But I didn't really believe that. I didn't really believe that I am the daughter of a king. And so that if someone presents themselves to me who is not worthy of me, not that I'm better than him or that I have more, if I've accomplished more or whatever, we were unequally yoked. And so if somebody presents themselves and I discern that that's not a good thing for me, then it should be a flat no. We're not entertaining anything. Mm-hmm. But at that point in my life, I was just like so hungry for attention and for a significant other that I was just like, eh, okay, we'll try this. And worst mistake of my life. And during those 6 months and even up to a year after that, I would continue to meet women who were emotionally abused or physically abused, mm-hmm. but they were still in the same relationship. but their relationships were similar to mine. And I was like, why, God? Why did I have the strength to say no? Why did I have the strength to kick this guy to the curb? And they didn't. And it was like, I could give them a little piece of my story. Like, we'd share stories. And then I would give a little bit of encouragement. It's probably because I didn't sleep with him and they were sleeping with theirs. I mean, I know that there's that big emotional attachment, that physical attachment, those, not endorphins that are released, but what's the word? I don't know. It's probably not important right now.
I couldn't tell you.
But I was strong enough at least to say, I'm not doing that with him.
Right, right.
And I think that was the biggest thing that allowed me to break away from him and those ladies not. And so these women would just keep coming back into my life and I would say, God, why me?
Right, right.
Why was I spared? And so I think that's just that God has been in my life so much. And the more that I reflect on his graces and his blessings and how he's protected me over my crazy college life to even up to now, how could I not have that fire? How could I not appreciate or love him back? Mm-hmm. This past Lent, I did something a little different. I didn't really give up anything. I tried to do more holy hours, but Father Mike Schmidt had this homily where he challenged the people to journal at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And there were like four W's. What word is God putting or saying, speaking to you?
Mm-hmm.
Where was God today? Where did you see him acting? What might he be asking of you, from you to do? And I forgot the other ones, but, I did that consistently, probably not the entire time. So, okay. Kind of failed, but, the days that I would do it, like I'm a night owl. So I would schedule some time like around 10:30 and I would just journal, like, where did I see God?
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I did that, it was like, even in the littlest things, I would see where God was walking in my life, where he was guiding me, where he was helping me with certain things. Some situations, some meetings that I would have with people, like, God has a sense of humor and he would be like laughing at me in some instances or something like that, or just kind of poking fun at me. Or even like the word. Some days the word would be patience. Some day the word would be joy. Some day it would be like, what scripture was he referring to? Sometimes it was, ask and you will receive, mm-hmm. seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. But for me, that led me to really focus on, like, where is God in my life? And for people to say that they don't see him or he's not active or whatever, I would challenge them to do that same thing, because he is. He's always there, but only if we pay attention.
Right. So it's like you're being intentional about looking for God.
Yes.
Compared to waiting for him to smack you in the face with something.
You're pretty much
looking to try and find him.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that.
I think another part of what keeps the fire burning, adoration. I live a little bit past St. Matthew's. And sometimes if I'm coming home late from a parish visit or from, I don't know, Theology on Tap or something like that, like, I'll pass the exit for I-10 and Wurzbach,
mm-hmm.
and I'll hear God like saying, come visit me. Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard that, I was like, okay, who wants me to visit who? And then, you know, it's like, you know, okay. The next thought was St. Matthew's 24/7 Adoration Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in. And it's like, okay. So the first time I actually went, and it was on a Monday night. And Monday nights, the Spanish group has a gathering in the Adoration Chapel. So they'll do the rosary, the chaplet, and then Deacon Limones, I think. There's a deacon there that will read the reading and then he'll bless each person individually with a monstrance.
Oh, wow.
So
with the monstrance.
With the monstrance.
Whoa.
So when I got there, it was the time for the blessing. And it was like God was saying, I want to give you a blessing today. Mm-hmm. And had I ignored that, I would have missed that.
Yep. Yep.
The second time that he called me as I was driving by, I was like, no, I'm tired. But it was like, really, are you going to say no to God? So I went, and it was a Wednesday evening, and their choir practices on Wednesdays. But afterwards, the organist, he's a young guy, probably early 20s. Like, that dude was jamming out on the organ. And he was doing some compilations and things with, like, some hymns. But then he'd throw some Michael Jackson in there. And I was, like, jamming in the Adoration Chapel, looking around like, is anybody else over here, like, tapping their foot? And, nope, it's just me. But it was kind of like, I love music.
Right.
And if you're on the organ and this dude could play. I mean, he was just going on and on for a good 30 minutes. And it was just awesome. But every now and then, it's like God calls us. But are we listening? Are we listening? I will confess and say there have been maybe one or two times when I was like, no, God, I'm tired. I can't. But I'll go home and I'll have a little bit of that quiet time for myself because I'm doing so much. And I realize the importance of that quiet, that centering of yourself. And people that see me a lot will say, well, you're an extrovert. I'm really an introvert. Like, I am, but I'm an introvert extrovert, I think. Because with my business and with being in the military, and then now this position, like, I have to be an extrovert.
You have to
I
be out.
Love to be an yeah. extrovert. Mm-hmm. But how I unwind is in total silence and in seclusion and dark room, or, you know, maybe a Netflix or something like that. But that's how I unwind. But when I'm at a party, you know, like, I feed off of other people and mm-hmm. I love it, but I'm like, I'm, you know, night and day, introvert, extrovert. I definitely need my quiet time. And even more now, as I look at my schedule and making all of these decisions, like, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And I know that God is a huge part of that. And my dad said this weekend when he was visiting with my sister and I, and my mom was there too, but he was like, God first above everything and anything. Yep. When you hit the ground in the morning, you better be on your knees. Before you go to bed, you're on your knees again. You're thanking God for the day. And I'll add to that, like, I'm talking to him throughout the day, like, look at this crazy person that just pulled in front of me right here. Instead of, like, I used to be the one that'd be, like, honking and, like, what's wrong with you? But now it's like, oh, I play games with myself. I'm like, well, maybe they have to go to the hospital. Maybe they have to pee. Maybe they didn't see me, you know? And you have to do those little things, because if not, my blood pressure's up, I'm mad. And the other person doesn't even know that they did something wrong. So why am I going to get myself hyped up about it?
And then your day takes a nosedive.
Yes.
Not theirs.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's when the enemy wins. He always tries to...
Tricks you.
Trick... Yes.
I've heard him referred to as the judo master. He uses our own momentum against us. He uses our own movement towards his advantage. Mm. So it's just that first little knee-jerk reaction to being cut off on the road or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, and pushes you right through it and kind of uses your own movement towards his advantage.
Yeah, that is so true. And it takes a lot out of us, but we have to say, not today, Satan, not today.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Someone should put that on a shirt, huh?
Right. Maybe. Oh, okay. I get to do that first.
There you go. There you go.
Not today, Satan. Mm-hmm. Not today. Okay. But yeah, I think people don't realize that, you know? And even for me, I will say that it's in the inactivity. It's in the procrastination. And we don't think that's anything, but that is so him. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to give him credit, but it is that inactivity when we are idle. There's a scriptural verse about idleness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or without vision, the people perish, you know? I think that has to do a lot with future planning and keeping the fire burning. You know, are you planning to...
What are you working towards?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. What are you working towards? What's important in your life? Mm-hmm. And if what is in your life that has meaning, or what will lead you to the next step in life? Are you working a job just because it's a job and it pays well? and you're dreading going to work, like, why would you waste your time doing that? And I keep meeting people who are like, yeah, you know, I just have this job. I got it from college. And really? Is that how you want to live your life? Like, just barely surviving, living for the weekend? Like, that's not a life. But I mean, I could say that now because I'm older and I can look back on my life and see, okay, what things would I have changed? What things would I keep the same, or what things would I have done better? I could definitely look at that and see that. And maybe sometimes I, with some of my friends, I try to not tell them what to do, but give them advice about, you know, what they should be doing, or saving money or budgeting or something like that. And I have one friend that just tells me, you know, YOLO, YOLO. Yeah, you only live once, but YOLO only goes so far.
Right.
If I could just beat into people's heads, like, what I've learned, like, don't do me. Because for me, growing up and having lots of different friends and different little backgrounds and walks of life, I would watch them and see what they did. And if it didn't work for them, well, I wasn't going to do that. Like, I was the other one friend that, even though I followed you around, I didn't do everything that you did because I learned from your mistakes. And so I'm like, man, what do you mean not everyone's like that? Like, you don't have to do that too. Like, no, she didn't do it right. You don't do that. But everyone's not me. I know that.
Before we wrap up, you mentioned briefly Theology on Tap. For those that are listening who are really unfamiliar with that, we're blessed here in the city to have different options monthly to not only learn about our faith, but learn about it publicly and learn about it in a different environment than, let's say, a church. So we have, like, say, Theology on Tap. We have Worship on the River. Can you just kind of share just kind of a brief kind of what happens at those events for anyone that's listening? This is San Antonio, or maybe they're somewhere else and they have similar gatherings. You know, what kind of goes on in those events?
Sure. Tiny backstory. After I broke up with my ex at the time and I was kind of looking for more Catholic friends in a circle, I found Theology on Tap. And I found the Young Adult Ambassadors, which I was a member of, and that organization existed to have activities for young adults across the city. And so for me, I soaked that up because Theology on Tap is held at Blue Star Brewery, 1414 South Alamo Street. The owners are Catholic. Let me throw that out there.
Give him a plug.
Rye, what's up, Joey and Magdalena? They're just awesome. They give us that room for free.
Wow.
And so Theology on Tap is, it's in a bar. It's in the back room in a bar, granted, but it's still a bar. And people that attend are from all walks of life, all ages. It is for young adults, so ages 18 to 39, not 35, not 30, but 39. When you do that, you're cutting off some of us that are crucial. Anyway.
Yeah, 37 right here. So
37!
Hey, there you go. What? 1980, woohoo.
Hey, 81. But you get to hear from a speaker for about 45 minutes, and they talk on something church-related, theology-related, and then you have 15 minutes of question and answer. We have been fortunate enough to have those taped now, so they're recorded. I think it was as of January or something like that last year. I don't remember. Anyway, they're recorded now. So then if people can't make it on the fourth Thursday of every month to Blue Star for Theology on Tap, they can find it on CTSA on a Tuesday. I don't know what Tuesday, but check the channel or guide for more information.
And of course, CTSA, that's the Catholic Television of San Antonio. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Which is the television station of the Archdiocese. Am I right?
It is.
That? Hey, yeah. I've been on there once.
Hey, that's awesome. Yeah they're good. In our building. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
So you have that. I tell people to come early because if you've ever been to Blue Star downtown, parking is a challenge. Carpool, do an Uber. But people can come early as 6 or 6:30 and have dinner. And I tell people to mingle because I remember what it was like to not really have a lot of friends. So introvert or extrovert, come mingle, meet someone you don't know. And then even after that, people stay. It ends at 8:30 and people stay up until 9:30. They don't really kick us out and just mingle and meet people. Worship on the River is usually the second Thursday of every month, but starting in July, we'll be moving to the third Tuesday of every month. And that's because downtown in the parking garages, parking is free on Tuesdays.
On Tuesday, you're right.
So it's held at St. Joseph downtown next to the River Center Mall. And it's a, I don't want to say it's been a burden, but Father Mario, he's so gracious. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. He would always give us parking vouchers to park in the River Center Mall. We'd have adoration at 6:30 for an hour. And during adoration, we'd have confession. And also, we wanted to feature a different style of worship or music. So we'd have different bands or musicians, or even reflections. Like we had some seminarians that came to do Liturgy of the Hours once. We've had some guided meditation. We'll say the rosary. I think during Lent we did Stations of the Cross, because there are a lot of young adults who have never experienced adoration.
Right.
So for some of them, the first time they're hearing Latin is the Tantum Ergo or O Salutaris Hostia. So they're like, what are we saying? But it's an opportunity for them to learn a little bit more about their faith, but have that time with Jesus and, you know, have a squeaky clean soul with that confession. Yep. We usually have one or two priests there. And then, of course, there's Young Catholic Professionals, which is not in every city, but in most cities.
Right.
And they have their gatherings on the first Tuesday or sometimes the second Tuesday of every month at a different parish. And it's the same thing. There's a chance for people to network with other young Catholic professionals. And then there's a speaker that talks about, how do I live my Catholic faith in my workplace? And that's something that I think a lot of us don't really know how to navigate. But they can learn that when they attend those functions. And all of these can be found on Facebook. I'm part of a group called the Young Adult Initiative of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And we have a Facebook page, and we try to have other young adult groups post their information on our page. We try to share any activities, because there's so many of us. There's like 700,000 Catholics in San Antonio.
Alone.
Mm-hmm. And the same 100 to 120 people are attending the same events. So
what gives?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So people, bring a friend. Don't be afraid to go up to somebody at Mass and be like, hey, you look like a young adult. I've never seen you at anything. How come? Come with me. Like, I think that's what I like to do. Like, because I remember, again, what it felt like to be lonely and looking for other Catholic friends. So people, we need to be going out and inviting people. It's that personal invitation. It's not the...
That goes a long way.
Yes.
That goes a very long way.
It does. People have not remembered how it felt to be invited to something. Like that birthday party when you were in elementary school or middle school. That handwritten invitation with the little balloons on it. Mm-hmm. Come to my party.
Yep.
We need to do that. Mm. Not necessarily with the handwritten note, maybe. But, you know, instead of sending that text message, invite a person. Hi, I've seen you here. What's your name? Do you go to Theology on Tap? Do you want to get coffee? Do you have Catholic friends? Like, you know, be all up in their business. Because in this day and age, you know, if we're going to be talking about our faith, we need to be evangelizers, you know?
We do.
We need to be going out, discipling and grabbing people and saying, okay, I see you come to church. Maybe you skip out a little early. So maybe you chase them, you know, after communion. If you notice that the routine is they kind of take off, go get them and bring them back, or invite them to something, or find out about them. Some people say, well, I feel that I'll be invading their privacy or whatever. You know what? Just go. Just ask them, because at least they'll remember that, hey, somebody asked me. So many people go to Mass and nobody says hi to them.
Right.
We're working on hospitality, okay? We know that as Catholics, we're not that very hospitable, but we're working on it. You know, I think the church as a whole is starting to get it. We'll probably have training for parishes. I'm giving you a little sneak peek of my job.
Uh-huh.
but we need to be more hospitable. Like, a lot of our young adults are going to CBC or Cornerstone or whatever. Why? Because they are happy about the faith.
Yep. And they're having fun.
They are having fun. Mm-hmm. They are having a lot of fun. And parking lot ministry is something that we don't think about. Like, if you're in the parking lot and you're walking to Mass, say hi to somebody. They have people in golf cars. Hi, good morning. We're happy you're here.
Don't cut them off. That way you can get to your pew first. Say hi. Say hello.
Right.
Be intentional.
Be intentional. Move to the middle of the pew. Quit sitting on the end. Move to the middle. But we need to say hi to people.
Right.
And we don't.
Right.
We want to, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think tradition tells us, well, we should be quiet or we should be prayerful. There's a way to greet people without being disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
Smacking on your gum, sneezing 50 times because you got Texas allergies. I mean, there's a way to reach out to people and say hi and make them feel welcome. So if you see another young adult, I try to do that. If I see someone that I've never seen at my parish before, I try to say hi. I try to corner them before they leave out the door. Hi, what's your name? Are you new here? I've never seen you here before. What you doing? Do you have friends? You want to be my friend? Just try to get
Here's my card.
Right? Here's my card. Send me an email. Send me contact information, what you like to do, and I'll get you plugged in. That's pretty much what I do.
Beautiful. We're going to go and move on to our parting questions. Good stuff. Thank you very much for sharing. That's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. So, Adamola, if you could have a superpower, what would it be and why?
I would like to fly because I love to travel. And I miss Germany. I miss Europe. Mm-hmm. So I would fly there with my wings.
Might make your job easier, too, considering you're here. Oh, Del Rio, just from talking to you in the past, you've been in Uvalde and other parts, and you just
Dilly,
zip on over. Springs.
Yeah, I could fly there.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. I have a little cape. It'll be pink, of course.
With a big A on it.
There you go. Adam and
You could say that as you're landing.
Yes.
Or taking off.
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Who is your favorite saint?
My favorite saint would have to be Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. Uh-huh. I received my first communion in that parish in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also chose her as my confirmation saint. And I think the first time that I was discerning ministry, I was at a parish and there was a girl like eating a lollipop in the middle of Mass. And then I thought, well, maybe her mom will take it away from her or something like that. Her mom gave her more food. I was like, oh no, she didn't. And I was like struggling. I'm trying to pay attention to the homily, but it's like at the corner of my eye. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I say, should I say anything? Should I give her the stink eye? Like, should I give her like hand motions? What should I do? And so I prayed because I was like, okay, God, I'm being disrespectful. I'm not paying attention, mm-hmm. but this is a violation. So they left, and after Mass, I was kind of walking around looking at the statues, and the statue nearest to me that I was looking at was St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and she's a teacher. And I'm like, oh, so you're telling me that I need to get maybe into pastoral ministries to help people understand or learn more about the faith and the do's and don'ts? Because they obviously didn't know, but
right.
I mean, really? Like a lollipop? It was a blow pop, too. She was chewing. She was chewing.
So then you get gum afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Two no's. No. So yeah, I think her. She's been following me. I've been following her. We're friends.
Cool. So Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, pray for us.
Pray for us.
If you could describe how you live your faith with a hashtag, what would it be?
That's a tough one. What comes to mind is silent but deadly, but that's probably not good. I would want it to be like hashtag live out loud or something like that, or actions speak louder than words or something. Well, I don't know. I like hashtag live out loud with song and dance.
There you go. Love it. Hashtag live out loud. Good, good, good. And lastly, for anyone listening, what message do you want to leave them with?
I would say as a young adult, no matter what stage of life you're in, single, married, divorced, single parent, working professional, I would say get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved at your parish. If you don't have one, pick one. Because I think we don't, we fail to recognize the importance of having a parish home, of having a community that can support you and surround you when you need it. So I would say that, pick a parish, get involved, and don't wait for people to ask you. I know sometimes we need to be invited to do things. I know some of us have that personality, but working with priests, they're busy. Their ministries are busy. They need help, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't look like it. Even though they have 500 ministries in the parish, they still need help. So present yourself. If the secretary's not helpful, then make an appointment with the priest and say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I have these gifts and talents, and I think you could use it. And here's where I think it would be most useful. What do you think?" I think if people did that, a lot of priests would have a lot less stress. So be an active young adult and get involved in your faith. And if you don't know what to do or how to get involved, pray about it. And it doesn't have to be this elaborate prayer. It could be, "God, I want to get involved and I don't know what to do. Tell me." Mm-hmm. But listen, because he does answer, but we have to be listening.
We do.
So get involved.
Be intentional.
Be intentional.
Love it. Good stuff. Well, I want to thank you, Adam Ola, for taking time out of your day and sharing with us what keeps your fire burning for our Catholic faith.
On fire! Jesus!
In John 3:30, we do find that he must increase, I must decrease. I want to give a special thanks to Ruben here at Oblate Renewal Center for allowing us to record this particular episode on Holy Ground. That means so much to us. Thank you very much, Ruben. I want to give a special thanks to our executive producer, Dr. Jeff Vista. Thank you once again for your continued support of the John 330 podcast. You continue to be a blessing to us all. Thank you once again. If you like what you hear and you want to be a guest on the podcast, by all means, send me an email. You can do so at john330podcast@gmail.com. Or if you like our Facebook page, I'd be happy to go ahead and communicate with you that way. No matter how you listen to the podcast, if it happens to be on Apple iTunes, there is an option to leave a rating and a review. If you can do me a big favor, do me a solid, and leave a 5-star rating and a positive review, that definitely helps out quite a bit. It helps the podcast come up higher in the search results. Whenever someone looks for a podcast in regards to God, faith, Catholic, Christian, Holy Spirit, Jesus, any kind of tag that's associated with the podcast itself there. And I want to give some more thank yous. I began thanking people by name in last week's episode, and I'm going to continue to do so until I'm done. Thanks to my parents who put my new logo on a cool t-shirt and they sold them. So a nice little fundraiser for me to kind of help keep the wheels moving with this project here. So I'm going to continue my thank yous. And a lot of these initial thank yous are a lot of these people live in El Paso. That was the initial efforts for the t-shirt sale. And so thank you to Lorraine Leba and Norma Rubarcava, Olga Rubarcava, Leah Lopez, Carlos Sierra, Theo Carlos, thank you so much for your support. Alfred and Blanca Lara, thank you guys. I greatly appreciate it. Lucy and John Loveridge, thank you guys. My family, thank you guys so much. Cecilia Montoya, thank you for your support. Mickey Esparza, thank you. My cousin, Rosella Nunez, you're so beautiful. Thank you for your support. I greatly appreciate it. Zeke Salazar, thank you for listening and thank you for your support. You've been my friend since kindergarten. And thank you so much for buying a shirt and for help spreading the word of the podcast. That definitely means a lot to me. Jesse Marufo, a friend of the podcast who's been a guest on here before. Thank you for your support. So I appreciate it. Jeff Sainer as well, who's been a guest with a member of Laudate, who just had a birthday. As of us recording this episode, which will come out next week sometime, but you just had a birthday, and happy birthday to you, Jeff. And Jorge Balderrama, thank you for your support. And I will continue my thank yous going on with the next couple episodes. Thank you all for your support. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. And we are going to end this episode the way the Nunez family ends our time in Mass every time we attend. And that is simply by saying the St. Michael the Archangel intercessory prayer. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Alamola, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
Indeed it was. Hey, everyone, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and God bless you all.
From the day I leapt in the womb to the joy of the empty tomb, I know he lived and died for me. From heaven high above, a voice came down with the dove. This is my son and I am pleased. He must increase so I must decrease, and now my heart is open wide. I must decrease so he can increase. He is the center of my life. He must increase. He must increase. He must increase.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.